morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. I'm tired, but boy, we worshiped the Lord this morning, and I'm ready to bring the text to you. Thank you. I forgot what chapter is in. I'm honest, I didn't do any notes, you know. And I was looking through there, and I said, I know it's in John. It doesn't mean it's not important, but oh, my goodness. I really appreciate Brother Wayne coming and taking me to the hospital. And poor guy sitting there all that time. At least I was in the bed. I could lay down if I wanted to. But it's just great having a Christian family here to tell you. I really appreciate it. I want to talk today about living water. I've done this message. I know some of you saying, hey, you did this 2 or 3 years ago. If you are, I appreciate you keeping track like that. But we're going to look at this a little different today. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not bragging, but boy, God's just laid this on my heart. And the method and the form and everything, this is like, praise your name, you know. He loves you. He loves his people. I'm going to be in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. I'm going to try to keep it within a good time. I don't want to rob you. They told us in Bible college, the mind can only take what the seat can stand. So they gave us an acronym, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. I love this passage. I love the book of John. And our Lord reveals something to us that is so important, and it's so easy to forget in the church. And I don't mind doing these messages more than once, because Peter said it's good to stir us up to remembrance. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Father, we just come to you this morning, and we acknowledge that we love you. Father, we love your word. We love our Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth. And I know that where two or three are gathered, you're there in the midst of us. And Lord, I ask for your anointing this morning. Enable me to present this in a way that you have presented it to me all week. I thank you, Lord, that for the brother that took me to the hospital. I thank you for the good report. I thank you for everything. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is the Feast of Booths, and one thing the priest would do, there was a well just outside Jerusalem's wall, a spring actually, and they would go down there and dip buckets in there. Whew, I got to take him off and look at you. And they would dip their buckets in the water and carry it back up to an altar, and they would sing. And they were singing a passage from Isaiah when God said, one day, the knowledge of God will cover the earth like water. And they would sing that passage while they poured their buckets on the altar. And the altar set up on an elevated platform, and when you got a bunch of men doing this, it gave the illusion of running water. It would run down the steps down the sidewalk or the street, if you will, and they would sing and ask God, send that blessing. They knew he meant his spirit. The Jews understood being filled with the Spirit, and they understood it was a promise that God gave. And I think they kind of understood it was probably the Messiah that was going to make it happen. But you can imagine this setting. The Bible says Jesus had done a lot of miracles. This time he raised Lazarus from the dead, who'd been dead for 4 days. He come into town, and it says a little later, in spite of all that he done, they didn't believe in him. And John said he went out and hid himself. That's a sad statement. We talked this morning in Sunday school when God said the teacher is going to come. And man, what joy. But God also knew not everybody's going to be happy. Well, the teacher's here. And while the water, you can imagine the water being poured out, they're singing about God send us the blessing when your knowledge will cover the earth like water. And Jesus interrupts her song. He said, if anyone is thirsty. Now, I've read you Isaiah 55, I don't know how many times through the years. God says, ho, King James. Listen. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and buy without money. Beautiful passage. And I can imagine the Pharisees looking at him going, what did he just say? I want to touch on some things this morning. I'll try to keep it within a reasonable amount of time. You know my reasonable amount and yours is two different things, but let's clarify something. Who did Jesus say could come? Anyone. The Holy Spirit, I was reading this and thinking about it and praying about it this week, and I don't mean I was on my knees, you know, oh God, I pray, I talk to him. And the Lord said, there's two types of people I came to save. Anyone and whosoever. Yeah, I like that. Now, they got poor people, they got rich people, they got beggars, they got lepers, they're outside the wall. But, you know, they're still getting, people would bring food out, because like a church fellowship dinner, they was eating, you know. Everybody was there to worship and praise God. And Jesus stands up and makes this non-exclusive statement. The Pharisees were telling him, you want to go to heaven, you got to keep the law like we do. And Jesus said, well, do what they say, but don't do what they do. And the Pharisees were a little exclusive. If we don't like you, you ain't going to heaven. If you don't live up to our standards, you're not saved. Okay? Here comes the Word of God, God in the flesh. And I love it. He goes, if anyone, there was heads turned. He said anyone. Some of the Pharisees said, that boy's off his rocker. There's some people God doesn't even like. You know? Anyone. The Lord said, I came for the anyones and the whosoevers. We forget that in the church. Here he goes again. Beating us up. I'm not beating you up. When I say we, I include me in this. We forget that. You know what else we forget in the church? I don't want to know. I don't care. I'm going to tell you anyway. We forget that it's all about the glory of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know how many times my Lord said, it ain't about you. Jesus stands up and says, anyone. Well, all right, that's That kind of clarifies who he's talking to. Anybody, anyone, whosoever. But he uses a very strong word. It clarifies who he's talking to. Anyone who is thirsty. Well, now, wait a minute. What do you mean thirsty? You remember what he said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. You remember what he said to the Jews through Jeremiah and some of the other prophets? You shall seek me, and you shall find me when you seek me with what? All of your heart. You see, Jesus used strong words, as did God. Seek me with all your heart. God said, I'm not playing around. And if you ain't got time for me, I don't have time for you. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. God's a God of love and mercy and grace. He sure is. Praise his holy name. But you know the seriousness of sin. The consequences of sin is death. Not physical death, spiritual death. Because one day all the bodies, Jesus said, are going to come out of the grave. They have who have done good to the resurrection of the just, they who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation, or they who have been wicked. And that's a pretty harsh consequence. And what God is saying in his word, anyone can search for me and find me, but don't play games. Don't hold back. Your eternity rests upon the fact that you find my righteousness. That's what the Lord meant. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, I'm not jumping around. I'll tie this together. Those are strong words because those people, a lot of the poor people in Jesus' day, were lucky if they ate one meal a day. And God said, when you seek my righteousness, his, not mine. His. Like you look for food. Like you would look for water when you're parched. This was a desert area. You didn't have water taps in the house like we got now. They caught rainwater in a cistern and drank that. They would mix it with wine. I've heard so many arguments, well, you know, Jesus drank wine, but the wine he drank was one part wine, nine parts water. They used the wine because the alcohol would help kill the bacteria in the water. And even in his day, to drink undiluted wine was considered hedonistic, uncouth, you know, bad manners. Oh, my God. So living water to the Jews was artesian wells or springs. Fresh water. It wasn't stagnant. You ever looked at an old cistern? You can see the moss lines on it. And you think, my gosh, people used to drink that. Of course, the old timers said, yeah, and we're glad to have it. Sure you was. But you drank it. When you got thirsty, it looked good. So keep that in mind. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, not if you're curious. Not if you're just comparing notes, you know. Why would I thirst for righteousness? Because I would realize I don't have any. Why would I hunger for righteousness? Because I would honestly say to God, I don't have it. You know what gets us in trouble? When I stand before God and He judges me and weighs my good against my bad, I think my good will outweigh my bad and God's going to let me into heaven. And you know what God says? Boy, that ticks me off. What's God's righteousness? Who's God's righteousness? Oh, come on now. Huh? Who's God's righteousness? In the person of who? Jesus! Yeah! I've been telling y'all for years, you can't be saved until you see your need for a Savior, and you're not going to seek Him with all your heart, you know. Well, I'm basically a good person. The prophet Isaiah said, your righteous acts are like filthy rags. And if I told you what the Hebrew meant literally, it would offend you. You'd say that is lewd and nasty, and you shouldn't say that. So, in anticipation of that, I'm not going to tell you what the original Hebrew means, but it's nasty. God took one of the ugliest pictures and said, you at your best, this is what you look like to me. And you know, there's people to this day will not follow God because of that. But He sets His pole just too high. And I don't believe a loving God is going to send anyone to a lake of fire. You're right. He's done everything He can to keep us out of there. You'll send yourself. Yeah. See, Jesus uses these word pictures the same as the Father did to paint a very vivid and real picture that we can understand. If anyone, any of you, I'm an anyone, and I'm a whosoever. I think sometimes we ought to have a church and call it the Church of the Whosoevers. Boy, that'd confuse people. That's probably one of them cults. You know, whosoevers, what kind of name is that? Well, we're the anyones. Who's on first? You know, we're the anyones and the whosoevers. How do you tell the difference? Well, we're all the same. We're anyones and whosoevers. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Oh, I'm so glad that God in His mercy said, if Rick will hunger and thirst for my righteousness, if Rick will not presume that he's in good standing, that's what righteousness means. To be righteous before God doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you don't have any faults. It means you are in right standing with Him. Another way the Greek explains it is called justified. Justification, it's a legal term. It means you go before the judge and he has every right to condemn you. But in an act of mercy, he says, not guilty. There's only one way that happens. Brothers and sisters, if you hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and forsake their wicked ways, we don't like that part. God, I can get the humble and pray and seek in your face, yeah, you know, as long as it only takes 10 minutes, because I am busy. And give up my wicked ways? Well, who's going to tell me what's wicked? What's wicked to me isn't wicked to you, or what's wicked to you isn't necessarily wicked to me. You know what God will say? I can't do anything for you. Not that I don't want to, I can't. You know why you'll go to hell? If you go to the lake of fire, I'll tell you why. Because you rejected His offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. You think alcoholics will go to heaven? Only the ones that have received Jesus Christ and they don't drink anymore. Yeah. Because Jesus said, I come to set you free. So you hear what our master's saying to them people? Are you really thirsty for God? Yeah! Then come to me. What? No, we got the Bible, boy. We read that law and we try to keep it. And Jesus said, boy, that's a shame. you diligently study that law, and it's the thing that points to me, and you won't come to me so you can be saved. What was he saying? You'll study that till the day you enter hell. There's people in hell can quote the scriptures. Thing is, they never received the truth that they needed a Savior. Do you notice Jesus didn't say, if anyone is thirsty, let him go to church. Now, I'm not against the church. That's his body. Well, why do we go to church? The scriptures teach that God has set first in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles. Now, I haven't seen much of that, but... And then it says why? To prepare his people for works that he's prepared for them in advance. We're here to make disciples of you. Jesus said, make disciples. I take that truth as literal. Okay. What's a disciple? That's somebody who follows a teacher. They not only listen and watch their teacher, their goal is to be exactly like their teacher. Jesus said, go out into the world and make disciples. Baptizing them, Lord, don't forget that. Well, he didn't forget it. He put that in there. But he said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. You remember what he said? If you love me, you'll obey what I say. If you don't obey what I say, you don't love me. It's lip service. And you see this in Jesus when he clarifies. Anyone, oh, praise God, anyone. Yeah, praise God, anyone who's thirsty. If you come to me, I'll give you drink. What's that say? If you ain't thirsty, you ain't going to get it. Well, that's kind of harsh, Lord. This is serious business. What's the option if you don't thirst? You're going to be filled with your own righteousness, and you're going to stand before him one day with your sins on your hands. The blood will be on your hands. And God's going to say, I did everything I could. I offered my son up on the cross and poured his blood out so you could be reconciled to me, and you turned your back on me. Hell's full of people that said, let me think about it. Yeah. Let me think about it. Someday, I'm going to walk down that aisle. I was in a little church for about 3 years, and there's an old guy came every Sunday, and I knew him, and he wasn't a Christian. He was married to a woman in the church. Her and her daughter was very active. Every Sunday, he sat back in the right-hand side at the edge of the pew. Every Sunday. Every Sunday, that preacher would give an invitation. Every Sunday, he'd sit there. And somebody told me, I've been coming to this church for 30 years. And he has sat in that spot for 30 years. And he ain't come forward yet. Church was praying for him, lifting him up. His wife was praying for him. One day, we'd moved out of that area, and I saw somebody that lived there. And they said, you remember so-and-so? And they called him by name. And I said, yeah. I said, he died the other day. And I said, did he ever go forward? And they said, no. And when he was talked to by people in the church, his response was, I'm not that bad of a person. I go to church every Sunday. And he did. He'd volunteer in the church. He'd be a door greeter. You know? God said those who walk by their own fire, their own light, he said, this is the heritage you'll receive from me. You're going to lay down in torment. Good night, Rick. Why are you hammering on us? I ain't hammering on you. I'm trying to tell you what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear is that God is serious. You know how serious the cross is? It is God's proof that I will judge sin. The good news is if I receive Jesus Christ, my sin has been judged. He bore it. And when I stand before Him, if He looks at me and says, you tell me why I should let you in my kingdom, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say, Lord, I don't have anything but what you did that makes me righteous. I don't have anything to offer you, but you said that whoever believes in what you've done has set this to their seal that you're true. And Jesus said, I'll look at the Father and say, he's one of mine. She's one of mine. Why? Because we thirsted for his righteousness. Here's the promise. I will give you living water. Now, John explained it. He didn't leave it at that. Remember when he talked to the woman at the well? He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water. See, that term, to them, that meant an artesian well, a freshwater spring. And she said, well, sir, the well's deep and you don't have anything to draw with. Where are you going to get this water? Jesus talked to her a little more, and she said, well, give me some. I mean, she said, give me some so I don't have to come to the well and draw water anymore. I had a friend that they lived on a place where they had an old well, hand-dug well. And I used to spend the night out there, and it seemed like every time I spent the night, his mama was doing laundry. And the boys get the buckets and get me water, and you just constantly drawing water out of the well. Every time I spent the night, it's like she didn't have a set laundry day. Oh, Rick's spending the night. I'm going to wash clothes tomorrow. And I felt like that. I didn't know if she was washing clothes for me to draw water or if I was drawing water so she could wash clothes. And here this little gal is that lives in that kind of a culture. She said, well, give me some. Remember what Jesus said? Well, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's true. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with, he's not your husband. Boy, she changed the subject quick. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Yeah. Why does Jesus use that analogy? Because it's something we can understand if you've ever been thirsty. He said, I'll give you living water. That's a promise. John said this, he said to those who would receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because he hadn't given him yet. That's important, church. Think about that a minute. Jesus said, I'll give it to you. You got to receive it. I had an old boy in a church I was in one time. We got talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and his big hang-up was speaking in tongues. And I said, listen, the Lord I serve, I'm fighting the same devil he fought. I said, that enemy's got the same weapons he used against him, and my Lord's given me the same weapons to fight him back. And I'll never forget this supposedly Christian leaned forward and looked at me and said, I don't need it. Now, was that brother filled with the Holy Ghost? No. Why? He wouldn't receive it. I mean, suppose I had $1 million. If I did, it's not mine. But suppose I did and I came to you and said, I want to give you $100,000. Here's a cashier's check for $100,000. And you just stood there. Do you want the check? Yeah. You going to take it? Why don't you just stick it in my pocket? Fold it up, put it in my shirt pocket. No, you got to receive this. I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do with it. I don't want to know what you're going to do with it. I'm just saying that in grace, I've decided to give you a cashier's check for $100,000. I didn't ask you to do anything for it. There's no strings attached. But the only thing is, the only stipulation is, you have to receive it. You know something, Christian, that isn't wrong? When you're seeking the Lord, as He said, with all your heart, that means you're not playing games. You want to know the truth. It's not wrong to say, Lord, I thank You for the promise of Your Spirit, and I receive it. I'm not going to put any stipulations on you. If I don't speak in tongues, then I'll take the Holy Ghost, you know. I saw a youth play up in Mountain Grove. Man, it was fantastic. This youth group did drive-through altar call. Guy pulls up and said, yeah, I want salvation, but hold the commitment. Yes, sir. Yeah, I want an order of salvation with some mercy, but I don't want any radical stuff on that salvation. We're here to serve You. Have it Your way. Have it Your way. Have it Your way. Isn't that funny how that stuff sticks in your head? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that You let us have it Your way. And God help us, we're saying that in the church. You know, there's people that come to church, and I don't want to miss this. Jesus said, come to Me. Do you invite people to church? I have. And you know what we need to do? Invite them to Jesus. We hope when we invite them, they come here and hear the gospel. If the preacher and us is on the same level, you know, he should preach salvation every Sunday. No, he shouldn't, because you'd never grow if that's all we talked about. I've seen people come forward. You've seen people come forward. I've baptized people that's come forward in the service. I'm not saying that's, you know, wrong to invite people to church. But here's what happens. You invite them to church, and maybe you've got a little bit of a relationship going, friendship, and they start coming to church. And you're just tickled to death they're coming to church. And you love it that they come to church. And you love it that maybe they offer to serve in the church, and you see them put money in the box, and you think, praise God, they're coming around, and they're dressing like me. And they cut that long hippie hair. Oh, I'm not smoking pot, church. I just grew my hair back out because this is who I am. Okay. I seen a guy's story the other day. He said, what are you, a hippie? I said, no, man, I'm a freak. Hippies was in the 60s. Freaks was in the 70s. Good night. I'm the same guy. When I was bald, I'm the same guy I was when I was bald. I just got more hair. Okay. And we love to get people in the church, and boy, if you'll walk like us and talk like us and dress like us, we'll accept you. Because this is what a Christian looks like, and if you don't fit into this mold, then you're not saved. Let me tell you what God wants you to do. Let me tell you what the Lord wants you to do, especially when you befriend somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Have enough love and courage when they start asking you questions to say, well, I invited you here because I want you to know Jesus. I invited you to church so you and I could become friends and you'd trust me. And I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Well, brother, I can't memorize Scripture. I can't quote the Bible like you can. People, I'm not any wonder. When I came to Christ, and especially when I knew that I was being called to ministry, I said, Lord, You said if anyone lacks wisdom to ask You, here I is. I need wisdom, Lord. And that's why sometimes I seem like I can just throw things out and quote Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit. Because one day I said, I get it. You're offering Him to me, but I got to receive Him. Why would He give Him to me if I didn't want Him? Jesus didn't tackle me in the field and go, you're going to get the Holy Spirit here. No, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you want here. It doesn't work like that. Remember what he said we talked about earlier? Jesus said, which one of you, as wicked as you are, if your kid asked for a bread, would you give him a rock? Or a fish, would you hand him a snake? He said, you wouldn't do that. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things, Matthew says. Luke says, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask. Now, to receive the Spirit, you got to come to Christ. That, remember? He said, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I'll give you rivers of living water. And it's not stagnant. It's flowing. And in fact, it's not only flowing, Christian. If you allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life, it's overflowing. Yeah. People say, something's different about them. How can you walk around with a stupid grin on your face? I know your situation. You're just broke as a church mouse. Corrie Ten Boom was on a plane in a storm. And she said it got ugly. You ever been in a plane, when they get into them updrafts and stuff, they go, boo-doo-hoo-hoo-ha. And she said people were starting to scream and cry out and pray. And she said after they finally got it lined out, one woman came to her and said, I was watching you. You just sat there like it didn't bother you a bit. She said, how could you feel that way? We were going to die. And she said, I'm ready. And she shared Jesus Christ. Now, don't take this wrong. Corrie didn't say, well, I'd like to invite you to church this Sunday. She wasn't there to talk about church. She was there to talk about the head of the church. Okay, Christian? Well, I can't memorize Scripture. Jesus, I never read where Jesus said you need to memorize the Roman road, and then you can go out and save people. You know what you need to do? Tell them what Jesus has done in your life and live it. Mm-hmm. Don't be telling them what Jesus has done and sneaking out behind the barn and taking a shot or smoking a joint once in a while and coming to church and going, praise God, hallelujah, I just love the Lord. And I did that for years, and the Lord said, hey, that's an idol. If you really want to follow me, give it up. Oh, God, I need that pot to calm me down. God said, no, you don't. I'll calm you down. Do you trust that? Yeah. Did I at first? Man, I've been smoking weed for 20 years, and I know it'll calm me down. And I still get a little nervous and agitated. And he said, that's because you need to. Because you got to learn to trust me. Yeah. So, the gist of this message is Jesus, the church is His body, but He doesn't say, if you're thirsty, go to Mansfield Christian Church at 857 West Commercial and I'll give you water. He doesn't say, I want you to go to the Mansfield First Baptist Church over here on Madison Street and I'll give you water. Now, I'm not against the church, but what did Jesus say? Come to me. If you do not believe I am the one I claim to be, you shall die in your sins. That's not a good thing. Who did He claim to be? He said, I am. Jews went to stone Him, not because it was bad grammar, because he invoked the name of Jehovah God. Who do you think you are, boy? He said, well, before Abraham was, I am. That's who I think I am. That's who I know I am. And you better understand that's who I am. You better understand, as I talked about the other week, a week or so back, Jesus said, I am the way. The Greek there doesn't say one way. It says the only way. I'm the only way you're going to get to God. I'm the only truth that there is. Everything else an illusion and a lie. Now, the devil likes to throw a little truth in a lie to draw people. But Jesus said, I'm the only real truth there is. And He said, you know what else? I am the only source of life. True life. He came to give us life and more abundant, not money and cars. And abundant means the spiritual abundance of knowing Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. Yeah, give me that life, Lord. So, Jesus is saying, if you can't come to me every day, then don't come at all. Now, Jesus wouldn't say that. Yeah, that's what he's saying. He said, if you're thirsty, if you really want to know me, come to me. And what he said, I'll reveal myself to you. Not only that, I'll reveal the Heavenly Father to you. He told his disciples, nobody knows God but me and to those to whom I choose to reveal him. Remember his prayer just before he went to the cross? He said, Father, I have revealed you to those that you've given me. They were yours and you gave them to me, and I have taught them your word, and they believe that I came from you. And he didn't stop. Well, you know, I think the Holy Spirit gifts and all that died with the apostles. Well, then Jesus lied, because you remember what he said? I will continue to reveal you. Was that a conditional promise? It's saying, well, just as long as I'm alive, I'm going to reveal it. Is he still alive? Amen. Does he reveal the Father to you? Oh, I hope so. He will if you'll read the Word. And Jesus said, don't play games with me. God says that. Don't pull my chain. You know, I'm serious, because this is a life and death situation. What if I put you in a minefield, drugged you or something, and you woke up and you had a map there, and I'm standing out the edge of that minefield, and I said, hey, guess what? That map tells you where these mines are. If you step on one, there ain't going to be much left to bury, but so you best read that map. Would you be one of them that crumbled up, throw it over your shoulder, and say, I don't believe you got landmines out here? Or, hey, I can find my way out of here. I don't need your map. You know what I'd be hearing a little bit? Boom! Idiot. We do it to God all the time. He didn't put any mines here, but our enemy has. The Bible talks about snares. You know what those snares were? They were set low. And what happened? They put them along a path that the animal used. Animal come tripping through there not looking down, and they get their foot, their hoof caught in that snare. And then the hunter come up and put arrows into them, generally in their liver, because they bled out real quick. And David talks about the snares our enemies put out. Jesus warned us about the snares. And Satan puts those out, and Jesus said, you better be looking down. You got to be humble to look down. You know that? I grew up an old country boy, and I learned not to walk with my head up in the air in a cow pasture, because I'd step in something that just, ugh. Yeah, you learn to walk with your head down. I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just being honest. And Jesus said, when you're walking through this world, you're in enemy territory. You follow me. And you know, I still pray and say, Father, open my eyes to the snares that my enemy lays. And he does. Don't go that way, Rick. That's a trap. Boy, I love him. And he loves you. We've been studying Isaiah, and everything he says, there's this harsh judgment. Then he says, but boy, I'm going to be gracious to you all that survive. And now he says, are you thirsty? Do you understand and believe that I am the supplier of life? If you want spiritual life, you can't get it from nobody. I mean, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Krishna, not Joseph Smith, not Pastor Russell. Yeah. Not John Hagee, sorry, but Brother Hagee preaches the gospel, but he can't give you life. He can present the one to you who can, and that's, again, the gist of this message. Jesus said, come to me. Have you done that? I'm going to tell you something, church. I've been preaching for 20 years, and I've met people in the church. I'm convinced they came to church, but they didn't come to Jesus Christ. And as a preacher, that breaks my heart. I don't judge people. I'm not qualified to say, well, he's saved, but she's not. I don't do that. When I preach a funeral, I'm not going to preach you into heaven, bless your heart, and I ain't going to preach you into hell. And there's a friend, dear friend of mine that I've asked to do my funeral if I die before him, and I said, don't you dare preach me into heaven. Don't you dare stand there and say, oh, I know Brother Rick's walking the streets of gold. I said, you don't know where Brother Rick's walking. And I'm convinced by the reading of this word, Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. You know what that means? Someday I'll stand before him and he's going to say yes or no. And if he says no, I'm going to be shocked. He already prophesied that. He said, I'll say, but Lord, I preached the gospel. I did all these wonderful things in your name, and if he rejects me, he's going to say, I didn't authorize that. Depart from me, you cursed. There's a lot of people that think they're okay, you know, and they just kind of cruise along. They go to church, but they don't go to Jesus. What's the difference? A changed life. A saved life. Oh, I'm sorry. I said I was going to keep it short, but you guys know I'm a liar when it comes to that. I love you, and so does God. Yeah. I'm going to end this message on kind of a sour note. The elders and I talked last Sunday, and I have decided to hand in my resignation. I've been praying about it for a while. And I told y'all I'd never leave you until the Lord said I could. And these aren't excuses, church. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've had some anger problems. PTSD off the ambulance. I still have dreams. And that's not an excuse. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm leaving the ministry. One of my daughters said she was afraid I was walking away from God. And I said, no. No, I'm not. But I got to back up for a little bit. I need some me time. That sounds selfish, but I got to have some downtime. I'm going to be driving truck. And they said, we don't do team drivers. And I said, that's exactly what I want. I want to be alone. Me and God. I also told the elders, and I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this with all my heart, I'm not the man to take you to the next level. I love you. I pray that God's going to send you a man here that's going to have a love for Christ and a love for this church. And he's going to be able to take you on. So next Sunday is my last Sunday. And I want to leave on good terms with you. I do. And I don't want you thinking, well, them elders made Rick mad. And we just agreed to disagree on some points. And I thought, you know what? They're right. No, they didn't say you need to leave. But it was pointed out to me, you kind of got a temper. I said, yeah. Preachers got tempers, just like anybody else. But I've done a lot of soul searching. And I said, you know, Lord, right now, I don't feel qualified to be in that pulpit. So, I'm going to run the wheels off a rig for a while, see the country, and I'm going to be a truck driver for Jesus. You know, that's what I'm going to tell you. I called the head of the Misfits, and I said, I'm shutting the Misfits down, and they've got Celebrate Recovery and things to go through. He goes, well, praise God, you're taking a sabbatical. I said, yeah. He said, well, I know the head of Truckers for Jesus, and he sent me a text and said, I've already told him about you, and he wants you to call him within a week or two. I said, wait a minute, man. Didn't you hear me? I want downtime. So, please, we've had disagreements, but, boy, we've been through some thick and thin together, ain't we? Oh, my Lord. And I never left because I never felt I could. But I mean this in all sincerity, and I don't mean it bad. I've sensed the Lord say, okay, I said, Lord, I got to have some downtime. And he said, okay. So next week I'm going to bring you a message. Some of you may not like it. I don't know. But I want to share some things with you. We're getting ready to close the service. Are there any prayer requests? Yes.
No.
Vonda Bungard over at Norwood. A godly woman in her early 50s, and she's got cancer, and they're putting different bone marrow in there, and that's not a pleasant procedure, but they're trying to save her life. And, you know, be praying for her. Pray for Doc. Pray for Esther. Wilma Davis told me the last time I was in there how much she loved and missed you guys, but she also bragged about some of y'all coming to see her, and she just lit up. She said, I miss you guys so much, but said, boy, when you come and see me, Esther Pickle, independent as a hog on ice, you know, and I mean that in a good way. Go see Esther and Doc. Well, yeah, we're fine. Last time I went and seen her, she said, you don't know how much I appreciate you elders and other people that's come in and seen me, and please pray for Doc, pray for me, you know. And I said, Miss Esther, this is what the church is about. We forget that sometimes, don't we? We get busy. We don't mean to, but we get busy. Brother John? Okay. So we are having a dinner. All right. Well, nobody's mentioned it. Nobody's asked. And I thought maybe you all was thinking of Adam. But I like this Sundays. Got some good cooks in here. I used to wonder why all preachers had a gut. Now I know. You go to them dinners like, did you try this? No, but I'm going to. I've ate so much I don't need to eat for 3 days, but I'm not going to hurt your feelings, and I'll eat it and kind of get in the habit of that. When the rolls are served up yonder, I'll be there. God bless you. Would you stand? And I'm going to ask whoever has a closing prayer if they'd please pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity we have today to come into your house, to honor you, to praise your name in song, Father, and to know how much you love us. Father, I thank you for your message that you have used Rick as your speaker to us, Father. I thank you for your word that he shared with us. Father, I thank you that we've had impressed on our minds the only way to you is through Christ.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, for loving us enough to allow us to do that, to allow us to choose, Father. And I pray, Father, that if those words are true, and I know they are, I pray, Father, anyone who's thirsty now, that they will come.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, for providing a way for us, Father, for sacrificing your son and for his eternal life, Father, and the gift that he gives to us. I just thank you for this congregation, Father. I thank you for each person who loves you so much. I thank you, Father, for Rick, and we're going to miss him. And, Father, it looks like you've opened a door already. That it's amazing how you take us from one thing to another.
Yes.
And I just thank you for that, Father. I thank you for helping us to continue to serve, to continue to share your love in one way or another. I just ask, Father, that you bless those people that we've talked about today that are ill. I just pray for Esther and Wilma and Doc and for Desiree. She's home now and working her way through being healed. I pray for Kevin, Father, and I just ask that you watch over him as well. I just thank you, Father, and I praise your name for what you do for each of us. Continue to bless us, Father, through this week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Go out and enjoy the rest of this day. Spend time with your loved ones if you can.